Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of such a proof.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome, Mr. Ron Kelly Show. And if you can't handle the truth, you don't need to be listening to this program. Welcome, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. And, oh, I didn't want to do this show tonight. Oh, I'm so angry. Oh, I just really didn't want to do the show tonight, but I'm here anyways. I know there's a few of y'all, a handful of y'all who really want to listen to the program. So I came on anyway, but I really did not want to do the show tonight because I'm pissed off about something that happened earlier today. Liars. Why even? You know what God says about liars. And you, whoever, if you are watching, you know that you are going to get yours eventually. Karma is a bitch. Welcome, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com, especially when you use one of your own kids to lie. That's when you use one of your own children to lie. God is going to take care of you. Anyway, welcome everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Shout out to my people. Shout out to Marlene Weston Marrow. Shout out to Albert DJ Tiny. I like to call him DJ Tiny. He was on last night between 8 and 10. DJ Tiny on dywildmusicradio.com, pushing all the house upside your head. DJ Tiny, Wednesday night, 8 to 10 Eastern Time. On dwildmusicradio.com. All right, everybody, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. The clock is ticking. Let me start with this. So the clock is ticking for Kavanaugh and the GOP Senate. The clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. And there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of, there's going to be some problems. What the GOP Senate is facing is the female backlash. I understand today that women by the busloads went down to the Senate building earlier today, protesting against the nomination of, or confirmation, I should say, of Brett Kavanaugh, who is Trump's choice for the Supreme Court lifetime job. Shout out to Diana Glenn. So, the Supreme Court is a lifetime job, unless you decide to step down. It is a lifetime job. And it's very important that we have the right people in there, to make the right decisions. But the Supreme Court has become political over the last few presidencies, starting with Reagan, when he tried to put forth Robert Bork, who was dismissed. Shout out to Myra Lewis, Robert Bork, who was dismissed as the first big brouhaha over a Supreme Court nomination, Robert Bork. Some of y'all might remember that from back in the 90s, when the 80s rather, when Ronald Reagan was president of the United States. But we're going to talk a little bit more about Kavanaugh a little later on. We're going to talk about the origin of the patriot. What exactly is a patriot? We're going to talk about that. What was a patriot? Where did it come from? What was a patriot? The American history claims there were so many patriots, Paul Revere, and so many people who were running around trying to get rid of the British. So I'm going to talk about that. What is a patriot? You might be surprised at hearing that. Also, the cop killer, South Carolina, Florence Police, Sheriff's Department down there, one officer killed, peace be upon him, one officer killed a brother and six wounded in this, in the serving that they were trying to serve a arrest, they were trying to serve a search warrant on this old man. The man was 74 years old. The white man, 74 years old, who killed one officer and wounded six others. So we'll talk about that too a little bit later on, in the program. But I really want to get to this thing with the patriot. Because what is a patriot? You know, I was, you know, and you know what? Before I even go there, let me start with this. You know, we talk about corroborating. That's the new catchphrase that you're hearing nowadays with the Kavanaugh nonsense, corroborating evidence. You know, Senator Grassley, who is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, those are the ones who put, they move the vote. They decide if the vote should be moved to the full Senate. But the Judiciary Committee is only like 21 senators. So they're the ones who decide if the vote goes to the full Senate. Shout out to Myra Lewis. Hey, Myra. Shout out to Osman Shabazz. The Senate Judiciary Committee is the group of senators who question the nominee, and then they decide if it's a go or a no. So apparently, Mr. Kavanaugh was enough for the Senate Judiciary Committee, who put forth his nomination to the full Senate. Now, the full Senate must vote. Shout out to Bunny McKnight. Now, the full Senate must vote on his nomination on, I believe it's going to be Saturday. And we'll see if Mr. Kavanaugh is accepted or rejected as a Supreme Court nominee. But you see, here we go with this, you know, corroborating evidence. This is what you're hearing now, corroborating evidence. There's nobody to corroborate, which means that somebody else has to back up the person's story. That's what that means, corroborating evidence. But you see, how many brothers have been convicted and sent to jail for lifetimes with no corroborating evidence? How many black men who were accused of rape, for example, and went to jail for centuries until the advent of DNA testing? So back in the 70s, a brother went to jail because he was accused of rape. There was no way to even see if he did it or not. There was no way, because there was no rape kits back then, and there were no DNA sequencing. All it was the person's, their word against yours. No evidence, just circumstantial evidence. Maybe you were walking down the block. Maybe you might have went to the store. Maybe you might have been in the general vicinity just minding your business, but that would be like circumstantial evidence. Oh, you were over here, or oh, you were over there. And how many black men have been sent to jail for very long periods of time with no evidence, no corroborating evidence, trumped up evidence? So you see, so the senators who are crying foul now about corroborating evidence, how many black men have gone to jail for decades? How often do you hear, every now and again, you hear about a black man being, released because DNA evidence proved his innocence? Now, there was no DNA evidence back in the day, so what did they do? They just, there was no corroborating evidence. There's no such thing. But now, what the GOP does and the Republicans do, they just, what the white man does, period, it just brings up, and I'm not against the white man. I know plenty of white people. Some of my best friends are white. No, that's kind of stupid. But this is what happens. Now you want to, there's evidence. Well, how many people have gone to prison? Not just black people, but white folks too, whites, Hispanics, Native Americans, who have gone to prison with no evidence. So now you want to, there's no corroborating evidence. So there was no corroborating evidence for Emmett Till. There was no corroborating evidence for him. And then, it came out later on that the lady who accused him, Emmett Till, a young boy who accused him of looking at her, just looking at her, and Emmett Till got the worst beating in the history of humankind. And there was no evidence. It was his word against hers. Now, fast forward to 2018, it's her word against his. But now the tables are turned because certain people are in power, and what's going to happen, and I think he's going to get confirmed. I bet a couple people that he wouldn't be confirmed. Just a couple of dollars here and there. I bet a couple people that he wouldn't be confirmed. But Yeah, I might lose that bet because the way it looks like, you know, he may get confirmed. We'll just have to see. It's still kind of up in the air. What they need is 50 senators. 50 senators would have to vote yes. And then Mike Pence, who vice president, who is the vice president, who is the president of the Senate, who would be the tie-breaking vote. And you know Mike Pence is going to do whatever Trump tells him to do. So that's a given. So if they're able to get 50 senators to vote for Kavanaugh will be confirmed as an associate justice of the United States Supreme Court. So, you know, it's still, we have Clarence Thomas, who I don't even think is a black person. Osman Shabazz says, am I advocating that people should go to prison or convicted for a crime without evidence? No, I'm not advocating that people should go to... Well, first of all, Kavanaugh is not going to prison, or is he going to be convicted of a crime? He's not being scrutinized over... If he wasn't Supreme Court justice, or if he wasn't, you know, being considered for a post on the Supreme Court of the United States of America, this wouldn't be an issue. But because he's being considered as a associate justice of the United States of America, the Supreme Court, this is why this is being brought up. So, no, I'm not advocating that people go to prison or convicted for a crime. Black people especially have been going to jail and being convicted for a crime without being convicted, or black people have gone to jail without evidence for years. Black folks get denied jobs without evidence all the time, brother. This is Osman Shabazz, everybody. And for the people who, you know, people on the national network, I apologize. But anyway, now, but people have been being denied a job because they're black. Just Google it. What color are you, brother? Jesus Christ. You can always find a black person to turn on. There's always one. The white man had one Benedict Arnold. We got a whole bunch of them. No, I'm not. First of all, I'm not advocating that people should go to prison or be convicted for a crime without evidence. I've always been the one who has said that, you know, eyewitness testimony alone should not be enough to send anybody to prison. It shouldn't, not unless there's some corroborating evidence. But people that go to prison all the time, especially black folks who can't afford a decent lawyer, who have to rely on an overworked public defender who out the gate before he even reads the police report is trying to get you to cop to whatever it was. So he can move on to the other 400 cases they tossed on him yesterday. So, of course, I'm not advocating that people should go to prison or be convicted of crime or whatever, but it happens all the time. And again, I've been an advocate of not using eyewitness testimony to convict a person, even because they could be wrong. The person could be wrong, or they could be lying. They just could be flat out lying. Or that's not the black person who did it, but any black man will do. How many times did that happen? There was no corroborating evidence for Emmett Till. There was no corroborating evidence for the Central Park. In the Central Park jogging case, the five brothers who were sent to prison, there was no evidence. There was no corroborating evidence for the Duke lacrosse team when the white girl said that she had gotten raped. There was no evidence for them. And the young brother, I can't think of his name right now, the young college student who went to prison for 5 years, and then the girl comes out later on and says he didn't do it. There was no corroborating evidence for them. There was no corroborating evidence for them. But they went to prison. They all went to prison with eyewitness testimony. What do you mean name? So I got to name a person? Come on, brother. Now you're getting ridiculous. You know. Everybody needs a villain, but I'm getting ready to fire you. Okay, so name. There's plenty of people out here who, there's too many to name. There's millions of folks, hundreds of thousands of folks who've gone to prison wrongly convicted, get out of jail 20 years later after their life is over. It's happened so much in some states that they won't even, some states have a limit on how much you can get. So much per year. Some states don't give you anything. Insincere apology, and you don't get nothing. So Osman Shabazz says, unless they are a white conservative, right, no evidence needed. Now, look, black folks have been going to prison for years with no evidence. And again, he's not going to prison. I mean, yeah, if you've been accused, I don't care how old you are, if you, especially for a job like this, if your history is that you have molested people, shout out to Deacon Wayne and Queen Susan from my friends from Meeting Ministry Christ Church. I'll talk about that a little bit later on. Okay, but Osman Shabazz says, right, Osman, you know, get another show. Go back on the air. Osman Shabazz says, is there evidence of blacks? See, that's the thing that really gets me. You know, and see, white folks will do, again, this is not a black and white show. This is not a black and white show. I'm not a militant. I'm not a Black Panther. I don't belong to any pro-black organizations. And I don't subscribe to separatism or anything like that. I don't subscribe to that stuff. But this should be a little bit over. I don't subscribe to that stuff. That's better. Yeah. I don't subscribe to that kind of nonsense. But see, but that's the thing. You're comparing apples with oranges, Osman Shabazz. You're comparing apples with oranges. You know, black folks shoot people they know. You know, black folks don't just go after. We don't go into restaurants and light the place up. We don't do that. We don't go into movie theaters or shopping malls. Black folks don't do that. Now, a shootout, man, and I'm not advocating that black folks are innocent of anything. Maybe there was a shootout will break out someplace, but the black people who were involved in that shootout are shooting at each other. They're not shooting at random people like the other side does. So that's the same old tired argument. You know, I mean, do I advocate the murder of blacks, murdering other black people? Of course not. I don't advocate for that. Shout out to my people out there in on a national network and Block Talk Radio, and shout out to them who are hit me up on Facebook, not on Facebook, they hit me up on Twitter like crazy. Anyway, yeah, so Chicago is, that's a whole different story, Osman. That's a whole different story. It's a whole different story. I mean, should black folks, you know, I'm going to take a break because you're really getting on my nerves. So I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come right back and address this brother. Let me show this man some respect, even though he's getting on my nerves. But I'm going to take a break and come right back with more of this program. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this. The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly V. LLC.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them. Challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right. We are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. So, you know, if it's Thursday night at 7 o'clock, it's me and you and the rest of the United States of America who routinely tune in to the Ron Kelly Show. Even people from Utah, Bismarck, North Dakota. I have listeners out there like, oh, really? But because it's not a black and white show, ladies and gentlemen. This is a show about realism. It's not about black and white. It's about news, news talk, politics, social justice or injustice in this case, and the like. So if you've been listening to the Ron Kelly Show, please do continue to participate with me on my show. Okay, this is Brother Osman Shabazz, who briefly co-hosted with me, briefly, here on the Ron Kelly Show, along with a whole bunch of other people who have co-hosted with me briefly. They'll be crawling back when the show goes national. But anyway, so Osman Shabazz says, statistics show blacks kill more whites than whites kill blacks. Oh my God, brother, you are delusional. Blacks kill more whites than whites kill blacks, even though they outnumber us by 210. That's impossible. That's impossible. It's impossible for black folks. That is the biggest piece of nonsense. Oh my God. I'm just gonna stop listening. I'm just gonna stop, you know, addressing what you're saying. Shout out to Lamont Gates. Thank God, some common sense. Mark Gates, host of Real Social Talk on Blog Talk. I'm not sure what day and time it is. Go to Mark Gates' page. I'm sure you'll get that information from him. But Osman Shabazz says that blacks kill just as many people. Oh, my poor delusional brother. You know, like you can always find a black person to subscribe to this nonsense. You know what, brother Albert, I don't know. Blacks kill just, first he says, I need to move on from this, but I'm going to wrap it up by saying that black folks killing black folks, I mean, do I have a problem with that? Yeah, I have a big problem with that, because I might be one of those black folks who might be walking through a neighborhood and get hit by a straight bullet or a bullet that was meant for me. So yeah, I do have a problem with that. I do have a problem with that. But the white folks, see, I didn't even start out by talking about this stuff. You just brought this nonsense in here about blacks people. That has nothing to do with what I was talking about. I was talking about Kavanaugh. And I was talking about now that the Senate, the leader of the Senate Judiciary Committee is asking for corroborating evidence. And I just said that black folks have been going to prison for years with no evidence. Blacks, Hispanics, Mexicans, Native Americans have been going to prison for years with no evidence. And what I'm an advocate of is I'm an advocate of eyewitness testimony not being enough to send a person to prison. I am an advocate of that. 50% of the murders are, Osman is too scared to call in. But that's not true. Osman goes on to say, mystery show. Yeah, you're kind of right, Lamont. I did have a topic and he took me off of it. But I can't handle the truth. We are the most prolific killers in America. Oh, you know what? I'm just going to move away from that. Thank you for your participation. And if you do call in to here, brother, show some respect, because I will hang up on you. The phone number here is 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. That's the phone number here for the Ron Kelly Show. I don't normally give it out. But 646-668-2838. 646-668-2838 is the number for the Ron Kelly Show here on Blog Talk Radio, nationwide on blogtalkradio.com. Yeah, he just threw me off my whole game plan here. So let me move on to this. You know, the American history talks about the patriot. Patriot. You know, American history lauds the patriots, the patriots of America, the patriots who helped to the patriots that helped to bring down the British as the United States was part of the British Empire at one time. And we and there's a lot of talk in American history about the patriot and the forefathers of the United States of America, Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, and so on and so forth, were patriots. You know, but what was a patriot back then? What was a patriot? What was, yeah. So we you know, in American history, many of you have heard, I've talked about it, you know, I've, you know, learned about it in school, about, shout out to Bernard Williams. I didn't see you, my brother. I'm not sure if you're still here, but, yeah, so I talked about patriotism. This is what, you know, this is the what's being told to us in regards to, you know, this football kneeling thing that, you're not being a patriot. You're not, you know, you're disrespecting the American flag. You're not being a patriot. But see, the patriots, you know, the patriots of, and there's so much hero talk about in American history about the patriots, about how we dumped that tea into Boston Harbor because we weren't going to take it anymore. We weren't going to drink British tea anymore. We weren't going to take their nonsense no more. So people talk in lore about the history of this country and how we gained our independence from the British many, many centuries, a couple of centuries ago. You know, but the patriots were the folks who wrote the Constitution of the United States of America. Those were the patriots. Those were considered the patriots. They even threw a black man in there, Crispus Attucks. He's supposed to be supposedly a patriot. One of the first people to die in the Civil War, one of those wars. So they talk about patriotism when they talk about the flag and the American flag, and you're not. Oh, let me see if Osman is trying to call the show. Oh, he is trying to call the show. Okay. Hopefully this thing will work. It's Ron. It's the Ron Kelly Show. What's up, brother?
Hey, how's it going, Ron?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. How's it going with you?
I can see. Congratulations, man. You're giving the people knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, which is always a positive thing. And
I'm trying, brother.
Yes, sir.
Let me just finish this point. I was saying, well, you know what? I'll move on. I'll come back. What's on your mind, man?
The thing is, those statistics are FBI statistics. I don't make up this in my head, and I've had so many debates about this, brother. I've had to prove it, and as a matter of fact, I had a debate about this issue, and another brother came in on the thread and told us the statistics. My thing is this: our people don't want to look in the mirror. We don't want to accept the fact that we have a problem, and as long as we keep denying and calling people Uncle Tom and calling people self-hating black because they tell the truth about what's happening in Chicago, that's the murder rate.
That's my favorite.
50% of the murders are committed by blacks, my brother. That represents that we kill just as many people as literally every other ethnic group combined. That includes whites and everything. And we're only 13% of the population. So America's 350 million, and you got 38 million committing just as many murders as all the rest. So that's a problem. And we shouldn't call nobody Uncle Tom because they bring up that fact. We should say, hey, what can we do about this? There is something wrong and something sick with our community, that we are committing more murders than everybody else, and we're only 13% of the population. And this is
what's
why
up right there?
Language.
Let me just say this.
We never get better, man. We get worse. Because nobody wants to accept the fact that, you know, we got a problem.
Okay, but let me say something here. See, this show is all about self-empowerment. That's what my show is about. You know, I'm not looking at Ross Rocker or de Blasio or Trump or anybody else to to take us to the promised land, because those people really could care less with what happens to black folks. So,
right.
You know, I am one for self-empowerment. And yes, we do have a problem in the black community. I've talked about it many times, brother. I've talked about it many times. Well, I had a little sports
car.
Because
you called me a black person and saying derogatory things about when I posted it on the show.
Hold on, brother. You canceled your show. This is mine. Now, listen. Now, you know, what I'm saying to you is that, you know, I've always talked about problems in the black community, and it does seem that it does seem like folks are not really paying attention. When a black person dies, you know, it gets a lot of attention based on the circumstances. You know, like the lady in Newark who's coming back home from a Thanksgiving Day outing and had her car taken away from her by three black hoodlums who killed her and took her vehicle. So when that type of stuff happens, folks, you know, it makes headlines because of who the person was or what their circumstances were. So yes, in the black community, yeah, I'm very concerned that I feel safer in a white community than I do in a black community. See, the thing about white people is, you know, I appreciate the ones who are blatantly racist, because I know who they are. In the black community, you don't know who's coming for you. But in the white community, you know who's who. So I don't like the idea of feeling safer in another community. I should feel safe amongst my own people. So I do understand that there's a problem in the black community that needs to be addressed. But at the same time, though, we don't kick our own backs in about the problems that are going down in the black community, Brother Osmond. If you're really concerned about what's happening in the black community, we'll come up with some ideas, not just some rhetoric about the FBI, because statistics are based on where you get them from. You know this. Statistics can be meddled with. How do you go back? How do you confirm any of this? Like you told me, how do I confirm anything? How do you confirm the FBI report?
Well, then no facts are good then to say that. No, we can't believe nothing then. We just want to
there's
believe
nothing
that.
You can't confirm
that. We don't do no crime. We're not murdering. No, this is the FBI statistic, and it's the same statistics that has been utilized, and it's not just white people compiling them. It's all type of people, and it's facts, and they need the facts because they can counteract it in some kind of way. And, you know, you say with a solution. The solution is, of course, you've heard me more than anything promote education. You heard me more than anything promote quality schools and inner cities. You heard me also, another subject that nobody wants to talk about is the 75% to 80%, depending on the state, of black folks having babies out of wedlock. Now, right there, that statistic alone guarantees that we're going to be at the bottom of the social economic ladder. If we only have 30% of our households or 25% of our households with mommy and daddy never being married, at least even if you get a divorce like I did at one point. You know, I'm on my second marriage. At least there's a legal commitment says something about me to pay the child support and do all that other stuff. But these are the things that's holding us back. And the biggest thing is the out-of-wedlock birth rate. No community, if white had 70%, 75% out-of-wedlock birth rate, and we only had 30%, they would lose control of the country because they would be so unstable
what we do is we come up with these solutions, quote unquote solutions. But see, but the thing is we have to get their attention. You know what I mean? We have to get their attention. You can't just go to young people and say, "Oh, we want to do this, we want to do that." They'll be like, "Oh, I'll be glad when they shut up so I can go play video games or go text somebody, whatever." We have to be able to get their attention. So not only do you bring programs forth, or you bring education forth, you bring education that they can relate to. You bring education that they can embrace. Because we preach to
can
them.
Can they embrace math?
We preach instead of teach. We need to engage the young people. We need to present it to them in a way that they can understand, in a way that they can comprehend, in a way that they can embrace. We can't just go up to people and say, "Oh, you need to do this, or you need to do that. Oh, you need to do the other." We need to present it in a way.
Quality education in schools.
No. I'm not talking about that. We need to present it to these kids in a way that they can embrace.
I
way that
solutions don't want to talk about that. You're talking about something else.
No, I can't because no,
I got.
But you know what though? If you want to call, you know, I can hook a show up and you can call in. I do have a couple of other things I need to talk about before I'm out of here.
Okay.
But if you want to, you can hook up a show and we can talk about some of those things. Maybe we can bring some educators on, some people who are higher up the food chain, maybe administrators or principals. And we can engage in a conversation on a future show. If you want to do that, I'm totally open to
that. Right. All right, we'll coordinate that. We'll coordinate that, my brother.
But I don't believe.
And I gave you solutions. And that's all.
Right, I don't believe for a second, there are plenty of folks who came from single parent households. LeBron James came from a single parent household. You know, there are plenty of folks who came from single parent households in Maine.
Aberration,
so don't make
not
it
the norm. Aberration,
no, yeah,
not the
okay,
norm.
But it,
you can't
it,
have
it
a
does
society have where everybody's growing up in a single head of household and expected to be stable and prosperous. You're always going to have outliers. Come on, brother, you know better than that.
But the thing is, we can't approach kids the way you're talking right now because it's going to turn them completely off. We need to approach them in a way that they understand, talk to them in their own language, and that's the only way they're going to absorb what you're saying. If you talk to them like this, like you're pointing your finger around them, like I'm pointing my finger right on Facebook Live.
I don't talk
if
to them
you
like
do
that.
Like that,
look,
they're not
going to
understand. Let's put this together, brother. Let's put it together,
all
and
right.
We'll make it happen. All right. Thank you, brother. Thank you for your call. All right, everybody. It's
got it.
It's, thank you, brother. All right. It's Ooh, boy, it's 23 minutes before the hour. It's Ron Kelly's show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Thank you, Brother Osman Shabazz out of Connecticut, actually. See, that's why he talks like that. He's from Connecticut. anyway, but yeah, so get back to the Patriot now. You know, Patriots were thought of as the heroes of who helped to form this United States of America, the Patriot. But what is a Patriot? What is a Patriot? As it says here, a Patriot is a person who vigorously supports their country and is prepared to defend it against enemies or detractors. Or an automated surface-to-air missile designed for preemptive strikes, which was the Patriot. The Urban Dictionary says a patriot is a real patriot is someone who loves their country enough to speak up when they see something that needs to be changed. Not someone who blindly assumes that their government knows best and is always right no matter what. Originally, a patriot was someone who loves their country and supports it, but won't blindly follow whatever their country's government does. These days, it's synonymous with nationalist. See, back in the day, even back in the day, with Jefferson, Lincoln, and folks who Benjamin Franklin, Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, the folks who formed this country back in the day were considered patriots. But these same patriots, wrote into the Constitution that black folks were only one third of a person. Or three fourths of a person, whatever it is. Some people say one third, I say three thirds, whatever the case may be. But these same patriots wrote into the Constitution that another race was not equal to them. That was the patriots wrote that in the Constitution. That's what they wrote. When they formed the United States of America, when the Constitution was written, it was written with racism. That was racism. You took another human being, another form of life, and tell these free-thinking humans that they are property, like a cow or a horse or a pig or anything else that you might have running around on your farm. So the Constitution was laid with racism. It was laid with racism. The Constitution is the United States of America. It was laid with racism. So what is a patriot? So when they talk about patriotism, and there's a patriot part of the Minutemen, who the Minutemen, the group who patrols the border between Mexico and the United States of America, they call themselves patriots. Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber, blew up the federal building in Oklahoma, murdered a federal building, considered himself a patriot. No. The people who are out the people who are out in the Midwest, who are training to come back to the cities and take out all the black folks, they consider themselves patriots too. Because patriotism is what you perceive it to be. There's a Webster's dictionary, description, a breakdown of what patriot means or what it meant or what it should mean, but it's what you think it is. It's not necessarily what it is. And so when you talk about patriotism, folks, they're not paying attention to they're kneeling down. They're scoundrels, and get those son of a bitches out of here, like President Trump says. I can't say if he's a racist. I can say he's stupid, but as far as him being racist, I don't know. I mean, many of you probably disagree with me, but I'm not sure if I can quantify him as a racist. But so this is what patriotism was about. So be careful. Of what you say about yourself, as far as you being a patriot. Because being a patriot is what you perceive it to be. It's what you perceive it to be. White folks take themselves to Albert Vega. White folks take it to the extreme. Yes, they do. See, but Osman Shabazz defends white folks because he lives out there with them. And they've altered his trajectory, and now he thinks like them. So shout out to come back, my brother, come back, Osman, come back to Newark, get around some black people, because they've totally flipped your lid. Anyway, it's almost. I got a quick break. Last one. 17 minutes left of the program. Last one. A quick break. Come right back with more of my show. Don't forget DJ Tiny every Wednesday night from 8 to 10. Putting the house in your head, DJ Tiny, Wednesday night on dwildmusicradio.com. Ron, take a quick break. Come right back for more of this program. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Hi, I'm Lisa Edelstein. Every day on set, I help my fictional doctors save the lives of imaginary patients in the TV series House. Every day in his village in Ethiopia, Barasa Ware helps save the lives of real children as a local health worker. Like many children in the developing world, the ones in Barasa's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children of Barasa's village get the care they need to survive. Imagine how many more children could be saved with your help. When you help local health workers like Barasa, you help children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
I love golf, and I have some of the greatest golf courses in the world. I own Doral. I own some of the great, Turnberry in Scotland, where they have the British Open. Some of the greatest British Opens in the history of golf. I mean, some of the great Jack Nicklaus against Tom Watson. They say the Duel in the Sun, right, folks? The Duel in the Sun, the greatest tournament ever played was at Turnberry. The Duel in the Sun, Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson. So I have the greatest stuff. But you know what? And I love golf. But if I were in the White House, I don't think I'd ever see Turnberry again. I don't think I'd ever see Doral again. I own Doral in Miami. I don't think I'd ever see many of the places that I have. I don't ever think I'd see anything. I just, want to stay in the White House and work my ass off, make great deals, right? Who's going to leave? Who's going to leave?
Oh, boy, we know what a brazen liar he is. That was a piece from, welcome back to the Ron Kelly Show, blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com. That was a piece from one of Trump's rallies before he became president. He was just working his ass off. Yeah, how many times have you been to the golf course? More times than Obama did over 8 years. He's already surpassed Obama's total golf visits over 2 years versus 8 years for former president Barack Obama. Anyway, everybody, welcome back to the program. And, yeah, shout out to Osman Shabazz for hitting me up with his nonsense. Anyway, so shout out to my boy Keith Hall. You know, Keith Hall is up for a Sharkey Award. I think it's for Best Music Show. Keith Hall, Fishbowl Radio Network, Tuesday nights, Keith Hall, University of the 80s. I believe it's 8 to 10 here, 9 to 11 there, because Keith is in Texas. So check him out. Maybe you can find out how you can vote for him. Keith Hall, University of the 80s, on the Block Talk. I'm on the Fishbowl, my former home. R. Kelly Show has had a lot of homes. Fishbowl Radio Network, Keith Hall, University of the 80s, Tuesday night, 8 to 10 East, 9 to 11 West. Central. So we finally find out who the shooter is. Who, peace be upon the folks, the one brother, 52 years old, who was killed, and six others who were wounded, serving a search warrant on this white man, former lawyer, 74 years old, white man. We finally found out who this guy is. And I see the man who allegedly opened fire on law enforcement officers in a residential neighborhood. He was a lawyer. He was disbarred. Someone with the Florence County Sheriff's Office says that the suspect, his name goes by the name of Fred Hopkins, 74 years old. Now, it says that the sheriff's office had been called day before, serve a warrant for sexual assault allegations against a minor in the house. And as the situation escalated, officers from Florence, the city of Florence Police Department, responded to the scene to assist. This man had a high-powered rifle. Mr. Fred Hopkins had a high-powered rifle, 74 years old. Disbarred, former lawyer, disbarred 36 years ago, in 1982, for failing to comply with an order. But see, white folks shoot police. Point blank. White folks are the ones that shoot police, not black folks. Black folks are the ones that get shot. The white folks are the ones that shoot police. You know, privilege, whatever the case may be, white folks, maybe they think they're above the law, I don't know. But, and these statistics are right, Osman. White folks shoot police more than black folks do. Black folks are the ones who wind up getting killed. But white folks are the ones who kill the police more than we do. So you have a 74-year-old white man. See, and they didn't even say who he was in the beginning. Who is this guy? I'm like, so I'm searching the web, trying to find out who this man is. And I can't find out. Can't tell. So here's the deal. You know, so they catch this man. I don't know why they didn't shoot him. There was an officer killed, there were six wounded, and he wasn't killed. See, because white folks get caught. The Colorado movie shooter got caught. The North Carolina church killer got caught. You know, many of these folks get caught. And then the poor black man who wasn't doing nothing but trying to drive home gets killed by the police. And, you know, I'm not saying that all police are bad. I know some who are really good. You know. But like I say about police, you know, they make a mistake, they can't take it back. You kill somebody by accident, you can't take it back. Once that bullet leaves that chamber, that's it. It's over. No matter what your intent was. I didn't mean it, but too late. So as white folks in South Osman Shabazz, look that one up. Look that one up. White folks shoot at police more than black people, and they survive more encounters with police than we do. Now you can look that one up. Put that in your pipe and smoke it like we used to say. You can look that one up. White folks who shoot at police more often than not are captured, not killed. But a poor black man was driving home, working 12 hours, and reaches his glove compartment and gets his head blown off. We really didn't do anything. So this thing is starting to act up again. All right, everybody, maybe I've been on here too long. It's about 8 minutes left before the hour. You know, this is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. It's about 8 minutes left of the program. So the man, 74 years old, kills one, wounds six. Peace be upon the brave men and women, you know, which I do applaud. The men and women of the police, the law enforcement agencies all across the country, not just the police, but the FBI and CIA and you know, down to the security guard at Wendy's. You know, shout out to everybody who participates in protecting someone or something. You know, we want to pay homage to you, especially the police officers who catch the worst of worst. You know what I'm saying? Especially to them. But you know, it's white folks are the ones who go after police officers, not us. White folks. And so, and they get away, and white folks are the ones who shoot. Because 9 times out of 10, you know, the police officers, that's why they don't want to go to do domestic complaints, go to people's houses. Those are the circumstances where police get killed the most, when they go to somebody's house. Either a search warrant or a domestic violence complaint or something like that, and the police wind up getting killed when they go to somebody's house. Shout out to Victor McLean. See you Sunday, my brother. Shout out to my peeps at Christ Church. I saw Deacon Wayne and Queen Susan Norwood earlier on the feed. And shout out to my brother Victor McLean, who also, I don't want to put his business out there, but anyway, if you don't have the church home, you can definitely check out Christ Church. You'd be more than welcome. So it's white folks who kill police, not us. You see, and you know, I have a friend who I, you know, sit with the cigar lounge every now and then, and we sit down and we smoke cigars and talk. And he was a former police officer. I'm not going to say his name or where he was a police officer at, but he said to me that statistically speaking, he sounds just like Osman. Crazy as hell. Statistically speaking, when they pull over a black person, more often than not, they got drugs and guns in their car. And I nearly fell out of my chair. I could not believe that he said that to me. Yes, he did say it. I don't think he really meant any harm by it. But see, this is the mindset of most police officers. So when you pull a black person over, watch out, because they got a gun, they got drugs, and they're not going to jail. So watch your behind. And see, that's the mindset of police officers across America. When they pull over a black person, you know, spider senses start tingling because it's the black person, and those black people are so predictable and angry and upset, you don't know what they're liable to do. And see, that's why black folks get whacked by police officers, because when they pull us over, they expect us to do something. Like they're pulling over a wild animal, like a wild beast. You know, a black man is a wild beast, like a lion or a tiger. It gets tracked at any time. So you got to keep a bead on them. So that's why when they walk to your window, they have the hand on their weapon, you know. Now, I watch a lot of shows, and you don't see that happen that often, but when they pull up on a black person. Again, I'm not condemning all police officers. Thank God they're out there. You never know when you might need one, so you don't want to be condemning them. I don't condemn them. I condemn the ones that cause problems. But shout out to the ones, the officers, thank God that only, You know, we hate to see anybody pass away, any police officer pass away, but six did survive. So thank God the old man wasn't that good of a shot at 74 years old. But you don't want to see police officers get killed. So peace be upon the brother, black man, who 30 years on the job, 30 years, former Navy something. I don't, wasn't a SEAL, but he was a Navy tech sergeant who was killed, and the six others were wounded. There was another one that was seriously wounded, but I believe they were all expected to survive, except the one who was killed. So, you know, so people, why you want to put race in it? Why put race is in everything. Race is in everything. You may not think it is, but you're crazy to think that race is not in everything, because race is in everything. Race is in everything. So don't get it twisted. Anywhere you look, anywhere, race is in it. You know. But I had an encounter today. I'm going to close with this. I had an encounter today. I was in you know, my son's mother lied on my son. You know. So I don't really want to, you know. Sometimes I have to do certain things to cope, you know. I have to do certain things to cope. And see, don't lie. Don't lie on your children. Don't lie on your children. And I was in a situation today in a proceeding where my son was lied on. Don't lie on your son. Don't lie on your child. Don't use your child because you don't have the courage to say what you want to say. Don't use your child for that. You know, I just thought it was just outrageous. You know, I just thought that was outrageous. And so, you know, I'm one, I like to talk about things because, you know, I know how I am. You know, if I focus on something too long, I don't want to say anything, but it was very, a friend of mine called me just a little while ago, just before I went on the air. You know, and I'm grateful to her for calling me. Shout out to Nick Sears. But yeah, so white folks are the ones who shoot at cops more than black folks do. You know. And this man, you know, you don't want to, you know, race is in everything. You can't say, you know, people are, why do you want to pull the race card? The race card has been pulled long before I said anything. Race is in everything. Race is everywhere. And you're not going to be able to, you know, you're not going to be able to remove race from the conversation. You're not. Because everything is about race. Everything is about, everything in America is about race. Well, I don't see color. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You do see color. Don't tell that lie. You know. But it's how you bring it up. It's not about, if you're being sensational about it, you're trying to start trouble, that's one thing. But if you're talking about race and coming up with a solution, then that's something totally different. So race is in everything. Don't get it twisted. Anyway, it's I got about a minute left to the program, so I want to thank you for joining me here today on the Ron Kelly Show. And of course it's on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com. Check out my Facebook page. I don't think I've posted anything in a minute. Check my Facebook page. Most of the things you'll see are on my own personal page. Check out the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. Do go there and like this program. There's 5,000 or so of you have previously done. We can always use more, so the more the merrier. Do come over to this page. Comment on some of the things that I post. Also, Twitter is R. Kelly Talk Sense is my Twitter handle. Instagram I'm not on right now because Russians destroyed my page. So what do they want with me? Anyway, I'm going to break out of here. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining me this week on another show. So hopefully this joker won't get confirmed. We'll see you back here next week for another edition. So until then, everybody, be nice to somebody else.